Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church. My name is Nathan Williams, and it is my privilege to serve as pastor here. And on behalf of the whole congregation, I am delighted that you are all here this evening. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here this evening because it is this evening, because it is Christmas Eve. Whether you are with us this evening because you're in town visiting for the holiday, or if Covenant is your home church, wherever you are the rest of the year, this is like coming home. Or maybe something draws you here this evening, whether or not you believe the words of the stories that we're going to read together this evening. Or maybe you just need a safe, warm, welcoming place to sit in the darkness together. You are welcome here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Here's a little bit of information you're going to need in order to navigate this evening's service. First and last, you're going to need a candle because it will be very dark in here by the end of the service, and then we will fix that. So if you don't have a candle, give a wave to the ushers as they come up the aisles with some extra candles. There's no shame in having arrived and forgotten to pick up a candle. I will say this later as well. When we light the candles, lit candles go like this. Once your candle is lit, let someone else tip their candle into yours to receive the flame. It works better that way. Tonight's service consists of scripture readings and carols. Some of the carols will be presented by special musicians who are with us this evening. And some of the carols will be presented by the very special musicians who are you all. And so when it's time to sing, the words and the music will be projected on the screens. If you are a book person and want to hold a book in your hand while you sing, the hymnals are the purple books in the back of the pew in front of you. The scripture readings will also be on the screen. If you are a book person and you want to hold a book for the scripture readings, the Bibles are the red books below the pew in front of you. In the event of a loss of sanctuary pressure, if you are a little booklet of paper person, and you don't want to read readings from the screens, the prayers and responsive readings are also available in a limited number of large print bulletins that the ushers have and would be happy to provide you with. Then again, it's going to be very dark by the end of the service, so this is kind of a trade-off there as well. We will receive an offering during tonight's worship service. Covenant traditionally designates our Christmas Eve offering to one of our mission partners. And tonight's offering goes to support Cross Outreach. For 45 years, Cross Outreach has lived out a core belief that everyone deserves a safe and affordable place to call home. Cross focuses on preventing homelessness with financial assistance toward rent and utility bills that allow people to stay in their homes. By keeping clients in their housing, Cross helps people keep jobs, stabilize their children's lives, and improve their situation rather than just moving from crisis to crisis. As a small agency, Cross is able to help in situations when other agencies are not necessarily able to. And Cross Outreach meets a vital and growing need in the Des Moines metro area. Your gifts help to make their mission possible. You can give to Cross Outreach simply by placing cash in the offering plate or writing a check to Covenant Presbyterian Church, and all undesignated offerings this evening go to Cross Outreach. We sang about a king who changes everything. We could use one of those. In a world that seems like it is still occupied and dominated by sin, tonight, of all nights, we gather in the darkness and expect transformation. It's not obvious that the world is ready to be transformed, and yet this is when we gather. Our neighbors in El Salvador are as oppressed and brokenhearted as ever. Some neighbors in West Des Moines struggle just to keep safe, affordable housing for themselves and their families. People of color still cry out for justice. The climate itself is crying for healing. How can the world be ready to change when we are too happy to just let that be the reality, throw up our hands and say there's nothing we can do, no trees that we can plant that can grow to be oaks of righteousness? It's here in the night that we gather, because God doesn't just wait for us to be ready. God doesn't just wait for the world to be ready. Transformation is already at work. The world is already being made new around the edges. Tonight's scripture lesson comes to us from centuries more after the prophet Isaiah, who was speaking at the end of a time of exile. We've followed that story of exile and return on Sunday mornings. We had just a snapshot of it this evening. God freed a people from slavery and planted them in their own land, and the people and their leaders forgot God's promises and imitated what looked to them like more powerful nations around them, and ended up serving themselves at the expense of others. The consequences of their bad choices caught up with the people, and a still more powerful empire conquered the people and sent them away into exile, and it was the end of that exile that Isaiah saw, a time to replant and rebuild and renew. Well, the past 400 years since Isaiah have been a little complicated. The people's land has been conquered by more successive empires. The people have never quite fully been free, even in their own land, and they're now ruled by the Roman Empire. They sit there at the intersection of these dueling minor kings who are each kind of jockeying for position and favor in this larger empire, and really the people know that they are subject to the whims of leaders who have commitments other than them. That dysfunctional relationship carries into the people's religious world, into their own local communities. Let me know if this sounds familiar to you at all. Religious groups are arguing among themselves and with each other about how to be faithful to God, how to be faithful to God's ancient promises in a world that seems so different from the world when those ancient promises were made. Local neighbors are divided against each other over how to claim and protect their own status in the context of oppression and poverty. And the people's hearts are broken, as hearts always are when the world seems set against the ways that we long to live. And then we meet, in Luke's gospel, a woman named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was an old woman, a disappointed woman. The world had expected her to have children, and she and her spouse simply could not. And then finally, there was good news delivered by an angel, that she would have a son, and that son would be one who would prepare the way for God's anointed, the Christ, the one who would restore God's promises at long last. And then, reading in Luke's gospel, we met a young woman named Mary, the only person you can think of who was less likely than Elizabeth to get pregnant, until an angel visited her and gave her bewildering news that without the help of her fiancé, she would give birth to the Son of God. And she bravely accepted that role. So that brings us back to Elizabeth, who we learn is Mary's cousin. And Elizabeth is there pregnant with the one who would become John the Baptizer. And our scripture lesson picks up there. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." We've known about Jesus' conception for less than 10 verses, and it's already good news in this scripture lesson. Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth to process what the angel just asked her to do, and apparently she greets Elizabeth so loudly she wakes the baby who is still in the womb. Elizabeth is not just the mother of a prophet, she becomes a prophet herself in this scene. The Holy Spirit fills her and she gives the first prophecy in the gospel. She knows that Mary's baby is the Lord. Elizabeth knows that Mary's baby is the Lord. Or to put it another way, Mary arrives, perhaps with Jesus already having started out inside of her, and something growing inside Elizabeth recognizes it, recognizes what he has been waiting for, and leaps for joy. What's leaping for joy in you tonight? What is leaping for joy in you tonight? What promise is coming to birth in you? The joy may look like the beloved people who join you in the pew for this special night. Or it can look like the knowledge that someone is not joining you in the pew tonight because they have moved on to something new and amazing in their lives. Or maybe joy is on its way to see you. Or maybe joy is waiting at the end of a journey that you will take later on this week. Joy might look like hope. It might even look like worry. Or maybe joy takes the shape in you of longing and grief. That's not to discount the pain of longing and grief, but to recognize that sometimes our pain points more clearly than anything can to what God's purpose is in our lives. That's part of the point, in fact. Joy can take many different shapes as we wait for it here in this pregnant darkness. Joy can take many different shapes, and happiness is only one of them. Joy is what connects us to the deep reality of God's promises in the world. So I want to give you an invitation this evening. An invitation to feel within yourself what it is that is leaping for joy tonight. When your deep longings leap and seize you this Christmas, I invite you to recognize where God's promise is already there in that joy. And remember that that promise is not only for you. That promise is not only for us who are gathered here in this room. That promise is for our neighbors all around the world. when the joy that leaps in us is shared with everyone who longs for it, then God's kingdom will truly come. Right after that scripture lesson, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she prophesies as well. She prophesies about what God is doing in Jesus. And so we're going to respond to this lesson by singing along with Mary.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.